In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
I want somebody who is excited to give God a big shout of praise. Hallelujah! We can see, we can tell, and we know. We will see. Sing it one more time. I can see now, I can tell, and I know. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Wave your hands as an offering to him, an offering of thanksgiving. We see with our eyes the things that he does in our lives, the things that he is doing, and the things that he will yet do. Now lift your voice and bless him the best way you can. Lift your voice and magnify him. Thank him for what he has done. Thank him from January up until this day. Thank him for his faithfulness. Bless him. Open your mouth and adore him. Acknowledge his good works in your life. And for his mercies endure it forever. Amen. For his mercies endure it forever. For his mercies, for his mercies endure it forever. Amen. For his mercies, for his mercies. The best way to sing this song is to lift your hands. Say glory be to God in the highest. Lift your hands and say in the highest. For his mercy. Give him thanks. For some of you, you may look around your life and not see anything much of what he has done. But if he has kept you up until this point, it means he has prepared you for greater manifestations in the second half of this year. Am I talking to people who are alive? Did you hear what I just said? For some of you, you may look around you and not see exactly what he has done. Maybe he has kept you alive to witness his mighty hand and his mighty power in the next 6 months that is ahead of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare to someone that what you have not seen God do from January till now, you will see double of it in the months that are ahead. If you know you serve a living God, you shout a louder amen to that. How many of you are ready for surprises? God is up to something. I want you to sit back and relax and get prepared for July till December. Yeah. Because it's going to be an amazing time in the presence of God. You will see the hand of God like never before. You will see his promises fulfilled in your life. You will see doors open here and there for you. You will see breakthroughs that you long expected coming before you. Many of you have been believing God for one thing. Perhaps just one door to open. Here's the good news. There will be many that will open for you. You will have to choose. I said there will be many that will open for you. The choice will become the problem. Shout a loud amen if it is yours. Now clap your hands for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to for what God will do tonight? Are you ready to receive? We're going to take one more song and then we'll be seated. This service is in twofold, and I want you to listen carefully. First of all, we'll get to the word and finish what we started last week. Then after that, we are going to pray. And the power of God will move in this place. Because God told me this morning, he said that as a matter of emergency, there are some of you who are not permitted to enter July the way you are. So you can put it, this service is a second miracle service. Do you believe that? Now, when I start teaching, don't forget what I said and think the power of God has escaped. No. We'll finish that one first. You may laugh and everything. When we finish that one, in 10 minutes, God will move. God told me, he said, for somebody, he said, you are not permitted to enter the next 6 months of the year the way you are. Are you ready for that? Can you lift your voice in 1 minute and ask God for something in this service? Just as a way of preparing your heart. Ask him for something. You are the God who was and is to come. You are Jesus. Jesus. And in you I trust. My life is in your hand. Yes, it is Jesus. You are the miracle working God. We call you. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh, you're Alpha and Omega. Oh, you are Yahweh. Alpha and Omega, you are Yahweh. Teach us, to instruct us, to transform us, and also to empower us. Father, as your word comes forth, let there be miracles, signs, and wonders. Let your children experience a shift in their lives to another level in the spirit. Let your name be glorified in this place. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We declare that our hearts are receptive, that our minds are attentive, and our ears will keep listening. Thank you for whom you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Please give the Lord a big hand of praise. Now you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to Pneumatech. I had not said be seated, and the people at the back were already seated. Amen. According to one of our pastors, he says, sit on the head of your enemies. Amen. Sit down and never go down. In Jesus' name. Can we continue from where we stopped last week? I thank God for what God is doing in this house. I think we have a combination of everything here. We have experiences of the power of God, of the presence of God, and also of the wisdom and the revelation of the Word of God. Is that true? And I want you to know, even if you don't intend to, your coming here and you're following this service every week is already doing something to your life. And I can tell you what that thing is. It's called transformation. Just keep hearing, keep listening, and allow faith to be built inside of you. And allow God to begin a change that when He's done with your life, people will look at you and see the signature of the finger of God. You believe that? That's what God is doing here. And we give God all the praise for what He's doing in Jesus' name. Also want to thank God for the testimonies that we hear. I know some of us think these testimonies are not true or formulated. Every testimony you hear on this platform are true and verified. Amen. I'm as surprised as you are. Can you hear me? I'm as surprised as you are of the things that God is doing in our midst. Imagine somebody in ICU. ICU. Most often that's a written case. What's the ratio of those who go into ICU and come out alive and those who go in and never come out alive? What's the ratio? Amen. Is that the time to pray short prayer? But they that do know their God shall be strong. She replied my message and said, Papa, God has answered your prayer. I thought the prayer was the man has gone to be with the Lord. I got the answer. So I braced myself preparing for that. Amen. But God is faithful. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly far above all we can ask or think. Amen. Very soon you will share your testimony. In Jesus' name. Let's get to the word quickly. The house that God builds. This is part two. And it's been a short series on family life and relationship. The house that God built. Wisdom for a godly home. Or you can put wisdom for godly relationships. Wisdom for godly relationships. Amen. Want to also apologize. We had an issue with one of our generators during the service. I'm sure some of us noticed the lights went off, but the sound was working. And I want to appreciate the sound and technical department for their level of proactivity and excellence. Be sure that they run two generators so that we can depend on one when the other one is knocked off. Amen. And that's the reason why some fans are not on. Or is the generator working now? Okay. So just in case the fan close to you is not working, please bear with us, okay? One of our generators shut down. They are fixing it right now. But thank God we have the other one running. Amen. Maybe very soon we have to buy a third one. So that in case the devil wants to use that one to spoil our service, we have enough generators. Is that true? So I think we should clap for the sound and technical department for that wisdom. Amen. Thank you very much. I'm sure there was maybe a break in transmission online, but thank God we are back. And those of you who are following online, God will truly bless you in Jesus' name. Like I said, this is the first part of the service We'll finish where we stopped last week. After that, we will pray. And then after that, I'm going to minister to us in a few minutes, because the Lord told me this morning that somebody here, maybe watching online or here present, is not permitted to cross from June into the second half of this year the same. I hope you believe that. So the empowerment that will change your life in 24 hours. Do you still believe in that kind of miracle? It's going to manifest. So consider this a pre-miracle service in a way. So while I'm teaching, don't think I've forgotten that other part, okay? Just keep yourself ready for the other side of the service. Amen? And God will be glorified in Jesus' name. The house that God built, Psalms 127 from verse 1 to 3. It's our anchor scripture. And we'll just go over it again and then finish up from where we stopped. How many of you were blessed last week? All right. So we'll trust God for more this week. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That means there's a blessing that accompanies every house that God builds, so that you don't have to take care of that house. And verse 3 and the last says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. God bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. We started last week, just a brief recap, very brief, and then we proceed. We started last week with a question. Why are marriages failing today? The attempt of this series is not to give you a full discourse or teaching on marriage and relationship. We've had that before. We did a series about 2 or 3 years ago, and I encourage you to please get every part of that series and listen to it. But this is an upgrade from that one. And this is to attend to the need of relationships and marriages nowadays that we see experiencing breakups and divorces. And we know that God is not God's will for marriages or homes to break up and be torn apart by divorces. They will tell you due to irreconcilable differences. I don't think that that always should be the case. So we started by asking that question, why a marriage is failing today? I gave you 3 reasons why I believe marriages are failing. Looking at our world today, what's happening in society, and then coming back to the church, trying to factor in the level of intelligence and understanding that people have about this thing called marriage and relationship. Number one reason, I said, was the side effect or the bad side of culture. The bad side of culture. We talked about the sad role or damaging effect of culture on families, because many people go into marriage with the mentality that they received or they developed from culture, from their cultural background. And in these days where we have interracial marriages multiplying by the day, you are sure to have some form of conflict when two people from different cultural backgrounds come together and get married without having a common base for a reorientation so that they can have an equal understanding of marriage. I think it starts from the damaging effect of culture on families. We also looked at the role, the bad role that religion has played. We talked about also, which was the third reason, the advent of technology. the internet and AI that has localized the globe. It is said that the world is now a global village and the internet is the village square. So it's easy for us to fraternize with culture from another geographical location. Sometimes these cultures are against what we believe in. You see, conflict of interest. And because of that, especially because a lot of people spend more time on their phones and on the internet, they indirectly become reformed or cultured by what they watch online. If, for instance, somebody is always watching season theme, The Real Housewives of Lagos. I have never watched it. I always see it online. Amen. The Real Housewife of where again? Imagine the name of the film, The Real Housewife. So, that means the plan of the woman is to come and sit down and eat money. Because that's, when you talk about being a housewife in the context of the African culture, what are you referring to? No career, no job. Come and sit down and use the man's money to buy an iPhone and be vlogging and blogging and vlogging and... Is that true? And as much as technology has done good by bringing in a lot of innovation, a lot of inventions that has made life easy, sadly it has also done a lot of damage. Many people are trying to make their families or relationship look like what they watch because they spend more time on the internet, even much more than they spend with one another. Yeah. If you go to a public place and you find a young person there alone, maybe the person is waiting for somebody. If in 10, 15 minutes the person doesn't reach for their phone, that person is a strictly disciplined, matured person that has some moral values that are away from the norm. Most often, in less than 5 minutes, everybody's on their phone. It's like an addiction. Some even take it to the bathroom. That's why when you look at some people's phone, even here, the phone is not up to 6 months, but you see one long zebra line on the screen. Why? Because you are taking the phone everywhere. Some ladies, their phone has fallen into a pot of rice, survive, falling into a pot of spaghetti, survive, falling into a pot of yam, survive. The next thing it will fall into is a pot of kunu. Because we are always on our phones. And we don't have time to build relationships with one another. So what do you expect when we have the time to talk with each other? Our communication will be influenced not by the word of God or by deep moral values inherited maybe from parents or good parental upbringing. But most times our communication will be influenced by what we see on phone. And you know that there is a lot of corruption online that you as a person will need to build a system to censor everything you watch. You shouldn't watch everything online. The internet is like a market. Will you go and buy the whole market? You know, there are people like that. When they get to the market, they will keep the list in the back pocket and start buying what is not in the list. Then when the money is quarter to go, that's when they say, make I buy. May God help us in Jesus' name. So we want to look at the word of God and find basic principles that will give us a template, a portrait of a house that is built by the wisdom of God. How a family, a relationship, a marriage built by divine principles is supposed to look like. That's what we are looking at. It is important for those of us who are married. In fact, if you are here and your spouse is not here, please call them right now and tell them to tune in and lock in. Tune in and lock down. so that what you are hearing, you will not be wishing the other person was hearing it where they are. No. Call them now and tell them, honey, listen. Amen. If you are a woman and your husband is not here, if you can send a text and bribe him, I'll prepare you pepper soup. Just watch this link. You know how to bribe. I won't tell you how. Amen. Whatever you can do. Or you are courting, you are in a relationship, a courtship, and intending to settle down, I think it is important that you and your partner will hear what you are hearing right now. So if your partner is not here, better start sending them a text message or WhatsApp. Amen. And let them stay tuned in and locked down. Whether the partner likes me or not. Somebody say amen to that. The way you are looking at me is as if laughter is just waiting in your throat to come out. God help us in Jesus' name. I said that I believe that true and practical Christianity is the answer to building a godly home, building a godly relationship. And that's the truth. Let the man and the woman just be Christians. Not just Christians by mouth, but practice true Christianity. That's a foundation for a godly relationship or a godly and successful home. And such will be your story after today. In Jesus' name. Few things that we should look at, few fundamental things that we should look at. We started from last week. Fundamental principles for building a godly home. We started from last week. I'm still doing a recap. Number one, we looked at leadership. Leadership is an important part of marriage and relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21, the Bible starts by saying, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And I believe that also applies to those who are courting. You have not gotten married yet, so don't impose your headship over the woman. Amen? There are some brothers who are manipulative like that. So I'm going to be your head, so let's start rehearsing it now. And by head, they mean you must come to my house and cook. You must come and warm my bed. That your head need deliverance. Amen. So while you are still in a relationship, the Bible says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Because it is expected that you and this person, man or woman, should be of the same faith. Both of you should be born again. Under one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to build your life using templates that are revealed from scripture. Therefore, the Bible starts by saying, submitting to one another. Then, when you get married, from verse 22, it talks about the wife submitting to the husband as the head. 22 down to 24. And then I think from 24 or 25 downwards, it talks about the husband acknowledging the wife as his body, as his own, and to love the wife as Christ loves the church. And I told us that men should treat their wives as partners. For example, the illustration of a plane and two pilots flying a plane. There's always the captain, who is the head pilot, and then there's always a first officer, who is the assistant pilot. The captain has experience. He has more flying hours. The first officer is there to assist him, who may be younger and highly intellectual. So, as the man, you are the captain. Treat your wife not as your subordinate, but as your partner. And that's the reason why sometimes you may have to discuss with her, especially issues that will require taking decisions that will affect the future of the family. Most times those decisions are the man to make, but the build up to making that decision may be a heartwarming conversation with the wife. Getting a perspective from the woman, because women are blessed with insight. I'm telling you, I was watching a dear man of God in this country, and he was giving a scientific analysis of the man and the woman, and I confirm that to be true because I've told you before that men are visual creatures. It's more of their sense to sight is stronger most often than the other senses. Why for the women it is their ear. However, when it comes to visions or visual perspective, a man has a linear perspective in his vision. What I mean by linear is that men can see ahead or they see in a straight line. Maybe that's why some men womanize, because they saw a woman from far. And with their eyes, they zoomed in. Amen. That is not an excuse to womanize if I catch you. Amen. But women don't have that very strong vision on a linear perspective. What they have is they are able to see around and within. So a woman may not see straight and far like a man, but she can see around and within. That's why if a woman is seated and discussing with her fellow woman and their children are playing, while they are discussing, you see the woman, hey, stand up, sit down here, give me that thing. Just before it enters the mouth of the child, maybe he's carrying a stone or a pebble, before he, hey, remove. And you see three children, but she's coordinating, because women can see around. That's the man's weakness. So, as a man, it is important that you bring some of these things into consideration when you are going to make decisions that will affect the family. But the Bible has given us constructively the template for leadership in the home. The husband is the head. And the husband is the head because Christ is his head. He's a head that submits to another head. Not a head that submits to alcohol or whiskey. I went to the house of somebody one time many years ago. It's a redeem elder, be deacon, something like that, but you know, redeem. And on the dining table, beautiful house, on the dining table as I entered, I saw a big, that was the first time I saw whiskey in my life. I've been seeing in films, but the first time I saw a real Johnny whiskey, Johnny Walker, Scottish whiskey. 1.5 liters. And the bottle had a stand. So the thing, bottle, you just see the bottle swinging on the table. Like, drink me, drink me, drink. And one of those days I was on the dining table to eat breakfast. And the man came, I think he was going to work or something in the morning. Came, took a glass from the kitchen, opened it, washed his mouth and drank it down. Ah. Then he now put some and offered me. I say, hey. I didn't take. Then when I went to drop the plates in the kitchen, out of inquisitiveness, I opened the fridge. As I opened the fridge, I saw Star. In cans, this row, Star. This row, Gouda. This row, Heineken. I say, wow. Amen. And we were all going to redeem Christian Church of God. Amen. Now, I'm sorry I called the name. That doesn't mean that that's what they do there. No. That's a very wonderful denomination in this country. Okay. The problem is with the individual, not the church. Okay. So every man is the head of his home, as Christ is his head. So you are a head that is accountable to another head. And that's the reason why you must treat the authority you have with discretion. Let your wife be your partner. Learn to consult her when necessary. But then there are times when you need to step in and take the decision as the man and take the lead. And then the woman should submit, as the Bible says in Ephesians 5, that the woman should submit in all things to her husband. In all things. All things mean all things. Some women, when it's time for morning devotion, they will submit to their husband. Honey, lead us in prayer. But when month end and they pay salary, my phone is out of bounds. Amen. There are some women like that. They can submit spiritually, but money, forget them. Submission is in all things. Amen. Number two, we talked about provision and care. And we tried to balance the responsibility between the husband and the wife. I gave a charge last week to all the men to ensure that they are not idle. Because we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8, Paul said any man that is not able to take care of his own household is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. So men are primarily responsible for the upkeep of their home. And that's why as a man you must do everything possible, genuinely possible. Don't go and do Yahoo because you say, hey, Papa say we must do everything. No. Everything genuinely possible. You see, I don't believe in hustling, but every man should be a hard worker. Every man should be mentally diverse. You must operate a level of mental versatility. You should know more than one thing that can bring money. If you don't know, learn. All right? Nobody is born a man. We are all born male and become men by our decisions. Of course, by our decisions. So nobody was born a man. The only person that became a man from when he was born was Adam. Okay? So as a man, if you need to take courses on finances, learn digital marketing, forex, anything you can find. Even when you have a job that is paying you well, invest in learning other things. Because in this life, nothing is really stable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a job, you have a business, very good, clap for yourself. After that, start thinking of opening a third one or a second one. As men, especially if you are married, in fact, even if you are not married, you are about to get married or you are already married, you must invest so much in financial knowledge. Because the Bible says if we are not able to take care of our own, I'm not talking about people in the village. No. That one is extended family. Feed your wife and your children first. Before village people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Village people will always be there. When you go in December, you will see them there. 500 naira you give one person, they will keep quiet. So give more focus to your home. Is that true? Unfortunately, there are some men that, I don't know what to call them. But I pray that God will deliver such kind of men. When they make money, it's only to buy new shoe. Have you seen those kind of men? Buff up. And they don't marry you with two children. But they still they buff up. And then your children, when they look at them, they don't look like you. There's no food in the house, but it's buffing up. He now has Temu. You know that app, Temu? So that he can be ordering a... No. One of the things that makes us responsible as men is taking care of those around us. That's what it means to be a father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many years ago, my biological dad taught me something that has stayed with me till today. When he taught me that principle, it was archaic, you know, all of this old man wisdom, kind of ancient wisdom. When he taught me, I wasn't earning any money then. So I began to practice it. He said, as a man, you must not spend all the money in your hand at any time. You must have what they call joker. No matter how dry you are, there must be money hiding somewhere. So that the day the devil wants to embarrass your family and your wife has joined the children to cry, you know, just like the worship team, when they are singing in parts, there's soprano, there's alto, there's tenor. So your wife has joined your children and added tenor part to the cry. And they come to you and cry to you. Have that joker you can bring out. Amen. And if you don't have that kind of joker, may God bless you enough to have enough jokers. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Very true. Very true. As a man, nobody should teach you how to save. Have emergency funds. have investment as God is blessing you. Not everything should be eaten at once. Stack them somewhere. And I permit you not to tell your wife any, every of these things. And I'll tell you why. Women, hold on. Hold on. Don't worry. I'm not gender based. All right. I preach the truth. If you tell your wife everything that you have, she will have faith in those things. And she'll be helping you spend it, because women know they forget some things, especially money. I told you that a woman is like a prophet. They have good retentive memory, especially when it concerns them. Right? Some families have the agreement to have a joint account. Very good. Man and wife, open one account. Two of you be contributing money, their joint account, fine. But as a man, apart from that account, open another account elsewhere. Because when trouble comes, she will not cry to God, she will cry to you. And if you meet the woman that has sense very well, she will tell you that you are the Jesus that we can see. Amen. When there was no food, who did the disciples cry to? So men, and that's, and another thing is, except your wife is a good financial manager and she's prudent and confidential with financial issues, except she has that trait, and it takes a lot to develop that in a woman. In fact, chances are that if a woman has grown to that level of financial prudency and confidentiality, she's also earning her money. Most times she's a businesswoman, or she's earning her money doing well. Because it's only when you have earned money that we can judge how faithful you are with finances. There are some women that just spend any money that comes because they are not earning anything. And I advise every woman here, don't allow your husband keep you at home and say, hey, just take care of the children, don't work, I'll work. Find something and do. One day, that's your 5 loaves and 2 fishes can save the family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if it doesn't save the family, it will teach you how to manage resources. Because it is sweet when you are spending the husband's own. But when you earn your own, and you have to give it, you know how they pay you like they are circumcising you. That's so you will now learn to treat. Because Jesus said, if you cannot take care of another man's own, who would entrust your own to you? Amen. So I will advise, and I don't mean to sound gender bias, but because of the world that we are living in uncertain times. So men, don't tell your wife everything when it comes to finances. She shouldn't know everything you have. Why? Another reason is that element of surprise makes you endearing to women sometimes. There's a word I wanted to use, but I don't want to use that word because there are children here. That element of surprise. You know what I mean by element of surprise? In our mind, there's no money, and then, boom, you just show up. It makes you more odogu-ish. Women are lying. No, don't worry. I will still talk your own part against the men. But women, am I saying the truth? Women love surprises naturally. If you meet a woman who doesn't love surprise, that woman is a hateful woman, or she's a sadist. Yeah. Maybe there's a need in the house and they need to fix some things, and it's up to 500,000. And the woman knows this is not yet end of the month. And you are going to work that day. Say, only see, she says, okay, no problem. How much is this? 550,000. Okay. Let's pray and agree. Father, we call for that resources in the name of Jesus. And then you speak in tongues together, speak in tongues and say, honey, God will provide. Before this week is over. As you enter your car, just text your house manager or text your PSA, take so money, go home and go and fix that thing. God has provided. That's the reason why I say, men, I will advise, except your wife is highly financially prudent and confidential. Because there's something about money. There's something about money. When you have money or material things, it be like say, go they bite you. Let me use Nigeria vernacular. It go they bite you to talk. You understand? For you to have so much and be quiet, it takes a level of confidentiality and discipline. And if your wife has not gotten there, don't leak your secret. Say, but Apostle, why will you say that? Talk. We are living in uncertain times. God forbid, if they kidnap that woman and torture her, she will vomit everything. Are you seeing another reason? No, we don't pray for that, but that's true. That is true. Even in countries like the United States, there are some issues of national security the president does not share with the public. He doesn't even share with the House of Rep and Senate. Mm-mm. He keeps it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That element of surprise, that unpredictability is part of what really makes you a man. That's something you should think about. Okay? The way God designed men, we didn't design us to talk too much. Most times when our mouth opens is to either make a decision or to bless. How many times did Isaac open his mouth? When he was having a conversation with King Abimelech and when he was blessing his sons. But yet the Bible says that Isaac prospered and became very prosperous. So men, we don't talk much. It's actions that should speak. And then we also talked about the women learning to organize the care of the home. Very important, very important. This one is the primary responsibility of the woman. Just like it is primarily the responsibility of the man to ensure there is provision. The woman is a secondary channel for provision. Alright? And that doesn't mean her money doesn't make sense in the house. No. No. As a man, if your woman bring money, thank God, thank her, collect the money. It doesn't make you less than a man. There are some men that, how will I spend money? No. No. Keep that pride aside. Alright? Sow a seed of appreciation to her. It tells her that she's productive. And she will go back and become like the Proverbs 31 woman. However, for the woman, when it comes to provision and care, it is your primary responsibility to organize the home. When God went to visit Abraham with two angels, I beg, who did the hospitality? Even when Jacob robbed Esau of the blessing, who helped him? Rebecca. Go through scriptures. How do you find a man cooking in the Bible? Except if that man is a single man. No, go back home. I allow you can come back next Sunday and fault me. From Genesis to Revelation, hardly will you find a man cooking or having anything to do with food except he's a single man. For instance, Gideon. Gideon was not married when the angel appeared to him. He now told the angel, let me go and prepare something for you. So it is a woman's primary responsibility, the feeding of the home, the clothing, how your family will dress and look like. If you fault me, read Proverbs 31. It is the woman that even chooses the fabric. Read it there, it's there. That's why I think it is good investment for every woman to know a thing or two about basic fashion. And if you have the time to learn how to sew, please learn how to sew. I'm giving you keys that will help your marriage be successful. If you have the time as a woman to learn how to sew, learn how to sew. Some women have time, but they are not using it. They're hiding behind one child, two children. If you have the time, go and learn. Just like I've told the men that they should get as much financial knowledge as they should have. Study fashion, basic fashion. Understand it. Sometimes your man can be so busy, he doesn't even have time to choose clothes. It's you that will go to the tailor and say, okay, my husband has been wearing this for a while. Now, make 4 pairs of senator wears. Make 2 pairs of this one. Then you go to the boutique, buy shirt and chinos. Then he needs at least 2 suits. One for ceremonial activities, another one for... Yes. That's your initiative as a woman. And I see a lot of young men around women that they claim to love and the woman loves them back. And I see the young lady clueless about these things. And I just see disaster waiting to happen after ring enters the hand. No, it's the truth. So if you are single, start learning it now. Go and study dieting. What leads to high blood pressure most times is sometimes it's because the cholesterol level in the body is high. What is cholesterol? Go and study it. You went to school. Most of you are graduates, yes, some with masters, one or two PhD holders, and you are all enlightened. Study it. And there are some food that have high cholesterol. So go and study it. The next time they check your husband, they say his BP is high. He's too young to have high BP. Reduce the cholesterol in the food. It's a simple thing. Nobody should teach you that. Even if you want to have a cook, by the time you tell her what to do, you are not going to cook it for her, but when you tell her what to do, she knows that you are not stupid. So she will not cook nonsense. Some cooks are cooking nonsense for a whole family because the wife refused to learn. You see, one thing about this life, anything you refuse to learn that is fundamental to your growth, it will haunt you in the future. The gap will show. I'm telling you. Learn it. When your husband is traveling for a trip overseas, a business trip, he's going to Dubai, or he's traveling to a place where they will get him a cook to cook for him, a driver to drive him, or maybe he's traveling with his PA, you can call the PA there and say, please find the person cooking for my husband. Tell the person to not use much of this, much of that, much of this. In this season, he's avoiding this and that and that. Not that you just allow him to go. Then he go and eat poison. And when he come, I say, you don't come. Welcome. And then when he's stooling and vomiting, you start giving him the blood of Jesus through a bottle of oil to drink. No. It's your responsibility. Learn it. It's not too late to learn. It takes humility to learn. Organize the home. You just leave children scattered the whole place. TV that you people sweat to buy 500 and something thousand naira, maybe 300 and something dollars. Then the children play ball and hit the TV. Bah! Say, when they pay my husband, you made a commode that money from your account first. Amen? That doesn't mean that the men should just live recklessly and hope that their wife will come and organize them. No. As a man, learn to organize yourself. Organize. Some of you bachelors, some of your fiancés have not visited you before. Because they know if they come, they will see the shirt you wore to Pneumatech last week hanging on the door. As they open the door, you see the shirt like this with the door. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can you just let me continue my teaching? Your singlet, you'll be wearing that singlet for 3 years. Not only is it torn, it is brown now. Change it and buy you a door. Then you know some guys, you see nails at the back of their door. It's for hanging clothes. What the wardrobe is for what? So when I'm saying the women should organize the home, don't just say, hey, oh, Apostle, thank you, and you gotta live your life. Amen. Take care of your home. Take care of your home. Make sure that you avoid germs and everything. They say cleanliness is next to God. It is important. I have a friend, anytime I have the privilege of visiting where he stays, and I stay in his house, wow. The level of excellence is just too much. Me, I say somebody is blowing me away. That person is really bad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even the car tire, they spray it. They polish it. When you see the car, it's always looking sweet. We traveled recently, one of our brothers, and sent his driver from the airport. Sweet, clean car. When he dropped us at the event where we're going for, he pleaded with me that he wants to go and wash the car. I told our brother, Dr. Victory, he said he wants to go and wash the car. Dr. Victory said. But some people, you will see bottle of Zobo. Mrs. Grace Zobo, you will see bottle. Women don't love you to contribute. You see the woman's hair in the back seat of the car. Bah. Open the boot, the first thing that will fall out is Pampers. Bah. Amen. So, I believe we all see that we have responsibilities. God will help us in Jesus' name. I said women should not steal from their housekeeping money. Your chop money, don't finger it. Use it for the house. If you want money for yourself, ask your husband. Ask and it shall be given to you. If he doesn't give you, go and pray. When he goes out, God will flog him and he will come back and give you. I'm telling you, even stingy people can give. Everybody's a giver. Ravens, hungry birds brought meat to Elijah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, you don't need to throw tantrums or put too much oil in the food because he refused to give you money to buy Hollandis. No. Talk to God. If your husband is the type that wants to be stingy, I don't believe there's any stingy man, but if he wants to be stingy, talk to God. Pray about it. God knows how to touch even the most stony heart and they will give. Even if he grumbles and give, he don't give. Amen. Finally, under provision and care, I said, learn to manage when resources are temporarily constrained. I say it again. Learn to manage when resources are temporarily constrained. Constraint means money no today this period. Learn to manage. Because of Donald Trump's policies, some organizations shut down. They affected your husband's work a little bit. You know that you'll not get the flow like before. Learn to manage. Learn to manage. Learn how to cook soup with 30,000. Still learn how to cook soup with 5,000. Apostle, for this Nigeria with 5,000 cooking like that. Amen. Cook it. I know if you buy meat, you don't need to buy meat. Buy crayfish. It's still protein. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Buy crayfish. Buy biscuit bone. Adam. All the flavor is there. Everything. The only thing is that he's not. And he will understand. In Jesus' name. Ayaya. They say situation make crayfish bend. No. Your own. You should be straight. Learn how to manage husbands and wives. I'm coming for singles, though. I'm coming for you people. Learn how to manage. Learn how to manage. Learn how to manage. Even rich people, they manage, though. That's why they have freezer. They will cook soup and it's there for 2 weeks. So since they have all the money, they should throw it away and be eating fresh food every day now. That's why they have microwave. Learn how to manage. Learn how to manage. There are seasons in the marriage where we don't pray, we pray that the blessing of God will constantly be in your home. But there are seasons where the resources will not be like before. It will not be like always. The flow will not be much. Learn to make do. Paul said, I have learned how to abound and how to abase. Learn how to manage. It's not a curse. Just because of 1-2 months of little shake in the finance, you see the woman throwing face every year and her face just looks like a neatly ironed cloth. No. Learn to manage, especially when you know your man is hardworking. If he's a lazy type, maybe you can throw face sometimes. But if he's hardworking and you know we've not experienced this before, manage and pray. Manage and pray. Jesus, when he multiplied bread and fed 5,000 people, he told them, gather the fragments. I'm the one who, now me multiply, oh, no problem. But he said, gather the fragments. And the Bible says there were 12 baskets remaining. Imagine if each basket had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was from that he was able to still multiply and feed 4,000. You know, it was not just once. In fact, when Jesus resurrected in John 21, when the disciples went to fish, he was the one cooking. He told them, have you caught anything? They said, no. He said, throw your net to the right side. They caught fish and brought it. He said, bring some of the fish. He was cooking. Because maybe if he allowed Peter or anybody to cook, they would waste time. So he decided to cook the food. Are you learning something from that? Learn how to manage. And let me teach you how to manage. There are some essential needs in the house that you shouldn't buy every day. Buy it in bulk. Buy it in bulk. Like detergent. You are buying 1 roll of detergent. What's wrong with you? There are some essentials in the house that you should buy in bulk. So that when money no day or month never end, at least you have enough to go buy. You can be broke and nobody will know because there's enough food in the house. Then the little money around you can use for transport, and one of those days you transport yourself to where your destiny helper is and they help you. Are you learning something at all? Even in marriage counseling, they won't teach you these things. Amen. Learn how to manage. Don't let a temporal lack of money spoil your mood and distort the atmosphere of the home. At such times, learn to live in the spirit of thanksgiving. The Bible says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and I shall multiply them, and they shall not be few. Amen? So when there is little in the home, thank God, it will multiply. When there is much, thank God, it will keep multiplying. Somebody say amen to that. That's number 2, provision and care. Are we blessed by that? Let's begin from today. Number 3, training and raising the children. Training and raising the children. Parents must live up to their responsibilities when it comes to training and raising up godly children. Parents must live up to their responsibilities. Ephesians 6 verse 4, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. He said, but bring them up in the fear of the Lord. The fear and the admonition of the Lord, I believe. That person on the council, you just continue there. I'll be ahead of you because I don't have time. Ephesians 6 verse 4. Proverbs 22 verse 7. Verse 6 rather. Train up a child where he should go, and when he shall not depart. Train means to teach. Nurture the child. The foundation of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that every child will receive should come from the parents. Homeschooling is as important as contemporary schooling. Train them to be who God has told you they will be, or to be the kind of children you want them to be. If you want them to be assassins, hired killers, thieves, drug addicts, no problem. There's a way to train them like that. If you want them to go into prostitution early, there's a way to train them like that. But if you want them to replicate the model of a godly child in the scripture, then the Bible says you must train them. It is our responsibility. I said that parents must make out time from their busy schedule or from the busy schedule of their career. They must make out time from the busy schedule of their career, their businesses, or their ministerial assignments to raise, teach, train, and nurture the children. Parents must make out time from the busy schedule of their career, businesses, or ministerial assignments to raise, teach, train, and nurture the children. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the qualifications to be a bishop and overseer in the house of God, if you read verse 3 and verse 5, the Bible says that he must be gentle. Because that's the virtue you will need to train them. Go on, verse 4 and verse 5. Let's read on. It says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Make out time. Don't be too busy. Some people are doing two jobs. Maybe because of circumstances you can do that for a while. But don't sacrifice the destiny of your children. Your children are your future. Don't sacrifice or jeopardize your future because you want to make money. Them into this world. It was not a mistake. Amen. He was called night. Nobody knew. Now the Peking don't come. Mother and father. God will help us to raise God in Jesus' name. There are examples of spoiled children in a lot of them. One of them was a child called Adonijah. He was a spoiled brat. He was used to having everything he wanted. David didn't have time to raise him. So when the guy grew and David no longer became king, the guy went and gathered the commander of the army, some other people, and declared himself as king. But David knew he had failed with Adonijah. He knew he had failed with Absalom. That was why when they gave birth to Solomon, in his old age, he instructed Solomon. Read Proverbs from chapter 1 to chapter 7. This is how it begins. My son, my children, hear the instructions of your father. Hear the wisdom or the commandment of your mother. David took his time to train Solomon. If I meet the other children, I won't miss it with this one. When it was time to know who will ascend the throne, David told Nathan the prophet, he said, Solomon. Solomon was young, very young. In fact, Solomon was, historically speaking, theologians believe that Solomon was a very shy person. He was an introvert. So they didn't even think he was knowledgeable. That was why they were wowed by his wisdom when he became king. The introvert, quiet child became king and all of a sudden started displaying wisdom that they didn't know where it came from. It was because of Proverbs. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Instruct your children. Counsel them. Teach them. If you are telling them this thing is wrong, tell them why it is wrong. Yes. Teach them how to apologize by you apologizing to their mother in their presence once in a while. Apologize to them. Amen. Your children are your future. Do you know Eli in 1 Samuel? Eli the priest. You remember Eli? You remember the problem with his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas? Spoiled brats too. Imagine these boys with their mind. Sacrifice that they put before God, they will carry their fake. In fact, they will send their servant. Go and chuck it in the pot. Bap, anything he lift, not their own. See mind though. And then the girls that used to come and serve in the temple, they were using them to warm their bodies. These guys, their own was another. That was why God had to just kill them. You know what? Samuel saw the mistake of Eli. As powerful as Samuel was, he still made a mistake. He didn't raise his children well. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Bible says the elders began to
complained, the elders of Israel complained to Samuel. They say, you are now old, but your children are not behaving like you. They are spoiled. They are perverted. They take bribes. And I try to start to find why Samuel, who saw Eli, made that mistake, still make the same mistake. That's why they say, if you don't learn history, you will soon become history. You will make the mistake of history. You know why? In 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel was too busy with ministerial assignment. Read the last three verses. The Bible said he would travel from city to city. He was judging Israel. And then he will now return back to his home in Ramah. That means he spent many months outside of his hometown than in his hometown. So he didn't have time to train the children when they were small. And when they grew, he made them judges and sent them to another city. He still didn't have time for them. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 8 from verse 1 to 4, the Bible called the two their names. Joel was the name of the firstborn. Abijah was the name of the secondborn. And they were judges in Beersheba. Samuel was in Ramoth. How do you raise children when you are staying in one place and they are in another place? They will call you uncle. Somebody came back, a military man came back from a service one time, traveled to go and see his children. When he came, the boy greeted him, uncle, good evening. Say, uncle, my mommy is not around. He went and applied, say, no, please, post me out of here. Make time. And I agree that sometimes our jobs will, for a period of time, not allow us to be together with our families. Think of this, a young family where maybe the man is now in UK and the wife is in Cote d'Ivoire or Ghana or Nigeria here. Make sure that gap does not stay for long. And before you take that kind of a journey, make sure you have done your part as a father or as the mother, depending on who. So that when you leave, the person, the spouse that is available will continue from where you stop. Set some things, some rules that they should follow. May God help us to raise godly children. Hear this, conception and giving birth to kids or children should be a deliberately planned agenda in the home. Conception and giving birth to children should be deliberately planned in the home. Don't just wake up and visit your pastor with 2 months pregnancy. Pastor say, sharp, sharp. Say, daddy, we don't know. The thing just come, kai. Which one we don't know? Even before you people get married, start planning. How is it going to be? Are we staying 1 year before children are coming? Or do we want to start having children immediately? Plan it together and join your plan with prayers. If you are not ready to train children, don't give birth, please. You and your wife, keep enjoying honeymoon. Amen. And that's just a statement of truth. Because a lot of responsibility. That child you want to raise may be the president of a nation in future. 200 million people will look up to him. 350 million people will look up to him. And the child came into this world. And the first person God privileged that child to pass through is your hand. And here you are, an unprepared parent. May it not be so for us. In the name of Jesus. So make out time, no matter how busy you are. If you work Monday to Friday, have weekends with your children. Let it only be God that can take you out during weekends. Some of you, even on Saturday, they go work. Continue as a single person, but when you get married, the ball has to change. You know, sometimes some of us, the office where we belong to, is as if they are agents of devil there. They will call you on Saturday. Are you crazy? Once I finish work, I off that phone and keep somewhere. When I come the next day, they say, we were calling, we are trying to reach you. Why would I say, sir, I'm sorry. I have a family with 2 children. And once I am done with work and return back home, it is with them. Boldly. Let them tell you to your face that they will fire you. Most times they will not be able to. They will just grumble and say, hey, you know your responsibility. You know your... Saturday, you're going to work. Even on Sunday, he's from work, you came here. No. Hallelujah. Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world. You know that song? Wait. If you don't know the song, some of you are singing it in Babur. Little children of. It's from you that they will learn those kind of things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, don't start bringing children into the home until you are ready to be responsible for them. And you have developed a format and template for their provision, their care and growth. Start when you return back tonight. Decide that in July I will study the scriptural model for raising a godly child. Start with this scripture, Proverbs 22 verse 7, Ephesians 6 verse 4. Start from there. Take the whole of July and study. What are the principles for raising children in the fear of God? It's not rocket science. It's not a myth or mystery. And then from there, begin to read other books. There are some people who are called into children ministry. Expose your children to them, especially when you vet them with, you know, of godly character and discipline. There's one of our sisters who is in Abuja. She may be watching now. She's a captain in the army. She has a children ministry. She has books that she has written, CDs, you know, different plans. Maybe I'll talk in Glory Summit. I'm going to bring her on the camera. She's married now. So I'll tell her to everything you have been teaching other people. Amen. Teach your children godly virtues and build them in a versatile manner. Teach your children godly virtues and build them in a versatile manner. If you are getting blessed, say amen. Amen. Number four, conflict resolution. Conflict resolution. Conflict resolution. That's another aspect of building a godly home that we must look at and see the Bible's prescription on handling that situation. How do couples resolve conflict amongst themselves, between them and the children, between their children, between them and external people? Conflict resolution. I want you to know this. Turbulent times will always come. Prepare for it. There will be no marriage where everybody will just be smiling every day, showing their teeth, except they are dead people. Monday to Saturday, Sunday, all of you are just smiling with your... No. There will be days where there will be misunderstanding, disagreements, conflict, quarrel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But let's look at the biblical prescription for handling those seasons so that your marriage or your relationship is not cut short by it. Hear this. Resolve to settle issues within yourselves as a couple. Resolve to settle. And this applies to both those who are in courtship and those who are married. Resolve to settle issues within yourself. Second point to that, when necessary, involve a third party. When necessary, involve a third party. Rahu kiska palagara dianosai. Kreski teleboho kabala hasikatai. Let me break and say this. The Lord just showed me something now. There's somebody, I see a job, like a federal government job coming for you shortly. Yeah. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now. And we release it your way in the name of Jesus. I just saw that now. Let's continue. When necessary, involve third party. Now, there should be a system around involving the third party. You and your wife should have people that you are accountable to, both of you. That's why when people who are intending to get married come to me for counseling as a pastor, one of the fundamental questions I will ask is to each of them, who do you submit to as a mentor or as a spiritual father? It starts from there. If you have one that doesn't believe in that or doesn't submit to anybody, you already are seeing a problem. Then if you have two of them submitting to two different people, fine. The two of them will now have to agree that now that we are coming together to get married, in issues that regards this or that or that, this is the person we look up to. This is the person we submit to. The problem is some women, God's servant, Pastor Jerry Eze, is their pastor. You always see them on Sunday there, streams of joy. And their husband, they drink for bar. So every time there's trouble in the house, they'll run to Papa. But the husband doesn't know anybody. That's why they advise people, know who you are getting married to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when necessary, involve third party. Don't believe people who tell you that there's no need for third party. Nalayo, there are some issues you people cannot resolve on your own. Sometimes you need somebody that can tell the two of you, you are both right and wrong. Each of you have made a right point, yes, but by holding on to your point alone, you are wrong. Because conflict resolution is not, I'm right. I am right. No. Conflict resolution is right or wrong. How do we amend this issue? Build a system around that. And if you're about to get married, wonderful that you are hearing it now. Most times I would not advise couples to go to their parents, any of their parents, except if the parent you are going to is not only born again, but is matured in the faith. I'm not saying somebody who is now a knight in Catholic Church because he has stayed for long. Or somebody who is in Anglican Church was archdeacon or something. I respect all those titles, very good. But that's not spiritual maturity. I'm talking about somebody that you and your wife, you and your husband know that this person is not just your father or your mother. They are matured spiritually. And we have seen the fruit of their maturity in their lives and their marriage. And in their view and judgment, they are not biased. You know, most times it's difficult to find those kind of parents. But if you have those ones, you can go to them. But if you know that both your parents are not like that, don't go to parents. Because chances are that there will be biases or segregation or prejudice in judgment. Everybody wants to defend his son or his father. Especially if your husband is the breadwinner of the whole family, sharing money to everybody. Papa go talk for him, mama go talk for him, whether he's right or wrong. So when we say third party, you have to be wise in doing that. Most times I'll advise a spiritual leader that both of you agree to submit to. And of course the Bible tells us how that there are things you must vet in the life of a spiritual leader for him to be called an elder or an overseer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When it comes to spiritual maturity and mental discipline and wise judgment, sometimes a couple can submit to somebody they are older than by age. As long as that person meets the requirement of being spiritually matured, mentally disciplined, and having wise judgment. Timothy was a single man when Paul made him a bishop over churches. He was a spiritual father to many married people. Come maturity, don't be age. Some people, all they have gathered in their experience of marriage, when you go and meet them for advice, the advice you will get, you will even regret why you met them. There are some married couples who are just 2 years old in marriage. And they are more mature than some couples that are living for 15 years married. So these are the templates for judging these things. Can we continue? Conflict resolution. Learn to listen to each other and consider the other person's opinion. Learn to listen to each other and consider the other person's opinion. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. A couple must agree that we will always listen to ourselves. Not that two of you are just shouting. Hmm. No, no, it's not like that. Why will you say that? No, am I not the head? Eh, you are the head, but I must tell you the truth. Eh? Learn to listen to each other. You see, if a couple truly loves each other and they love God, there is a level the quarrel should get to that they should look at themselves and say, no, we have to stop now. Let's sit down. If they truly love God and love themselves, I'm not talking about fake love for God. Genuine love for God and you love one another. When the quarrel starts, there's a way to get to. It's either one person will keep quiet and that will now water everything down, or the two of them will just look at themselves and know this is the limit. Let's sit down and finish this. And it is possible. Many people believe it's not possible. Why? Because you are watching, what you know about marriage is what you watch online. Somebody travels to South Africa to go and do reality TV show when the husband is battling for his life, having kidney issue. That's the kind of person you want to watch. Wise people know what I'm talking about. She be the marriage still day. It's still day now, she? Amen. Learn to listen to each other. Number 4 point. Practice forgiveness and forbearance. Practice it. Just like choir, practice. Practice forgiveness and forbearance. There are many couples that have practiced how to hold things in their heart. Your heart storage is more than 1 terabyte. And the things you store there, if they open your heart, even flies will not enter. Some women can hold on to a grudge and 5 years later, they travel somewhere for vacation and small thing happen and they are quarreling. She will resurrect it like Jesus, Lazarus resurrected from the grave. There are some men that are so hateful. They can't forgive. Some are so bad that they will even write it in a diary. On the 27th of June, she told me to my face that I'm not doing my job as the head. The next time we go to village, Umuna must hear this. Some men are like that. Shame on you. No. Forgiveness is not easy, it's hard. And I added forbearance to forgiveness. That's what Jesus meant when Simon came to him and said, Master, if my brother offend me, how many times I've forgiven? 7 times. You know, Peter, by that he was saying that after 7, I go space out. I go give him. Jesus said, 70 times 7. For one day, even the devil get tired of offending you and go. 70 times 7 is how many? 490. 490 times in a day. Even the devil get tired of you and go. He will not offend you again. What Jesus meant was not only forgive, forbear, forbear. Colossians 2 verse 13. 12 and 13, you see it there. Forbear. Just understand that both of us are human beings and we will make mistakes. We will err. So I forgave you yesterday, but you did it today. Well, you are a human being. So create enough accommodation while you are praying and doing your best to influence that person to change. However, there are some that will not change you. There are a few that will not change. So Apostle, what do you do with that one? Seek the third party option. Practice forgiveness and forbearance. Point number 5, walk in love. Under conflict resolution, walk in love. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sin. Many times that person will hurt you. Many times. Prepare. But one thing you must ask yourself, do I truly love this person? If you do, then this is the definition of love. Love will cover a multitude of sin. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says love endures all things. It's not foolishness, it's love. Another thing too, sometimes when you're offended by that person, ask yourself, does that person, minus this thing, does that person love me? If they do, then know that this is just a situation that can be quelled. And let me talk about anger management in the home. Couples should learn not to keep their anger beyond one day. I've given you already many points that should help you tackle that. Listen to this. Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. When you are angry with your spouse, your fiancé, maybe you are angry because they've wronged you and they don't know they've wronged you. And you are holding on to that anger. You see, you are just like somebody who is drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's foolish, isn't it? Now you go die first. In fact, now you they die. So sometimes it's baseless holding to anger. God will give us the grace to practice the fruit of the Spirit and to overcome anger and conflicts. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century, this is what he had to say about forgiveness in marriage. Of course, you know he had a very successful marriage, regardless of the fact that he was traveling around the world. Some months, his wife will not see him. Sometimes she'll carry his clothes and go and sleep on the bed, just to know that I still have a husband. This is what he said about forgiveness in marriage. He said, the main thing is to confess any past wrongs to God. Resolve to be true to your marriage, one another. Sorry, resolve to be true to your marriage vows. And absolve the black past by a spotless present. Let me say it again. He said the main thing is to confess any past wrong to God, resolve to be true to your marriage vows, and absolve the black past by a spotless present. Then finally, under conflict resolution, remember your wedding vows. One of that line is for better. Somebody say for better, for best. For better, for worse, my brother. Worse times will come. Worse times. Don't live in that mirage. Worse times will come. You see, it's even single people that are shouting it. The married people are saying that. For better, for... Are we praying for worse times to come? No. But would it be foolish not to prepare for them? Conflict will always come. Every now and then. But if we stay true to this point, we'll almost always be able to resolve our conflict. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Finally. Okay, I'll end with this one. Or should we go to the singles first before we come to the... Alright, let's go to the singles. There are things I didn't talk about, like sexual relationship and all of that. We are planning for a couple's dinner very soon. And in that couple's dinner, for everybody that is married, that's where we'll talk about issues around sexual relationship, intimacy and all of that, okay? We'll talk about that in the couple's dinner. So that we don't go explicit on some things that should be hidden. Say amen. It's an indirect and polite way of telling the singles, it's not your business. Amen. This is an extra for singles. I want you to note these 6 points. Number one, relationship or courtship is not sponsorship. What did I say? Relationship is not, shout them now, is not what? Somebody shouting to his neighbor. Somebody's shouting to his boyfriend or girlfriend. Relationship is not what? The way some women are already looking at me now. I hope this mic will not fall. Listen. I read an article 2 days ago on, you know, a popular blog site in this country. And in the article, a lady was talking about one of her colleagues or friends who got, you know, into a relationship with a young man. And they were just 2 weeks in. I think they call it talking stage. Right? So they were just 2 weeks into the talking stage. The lady now told the guy that he should buy her a car. So, I wanted you to read the article so that they will know. 2 days ago, the article is on my phone. The guy said, no problem. I'll buy you a car. Do you have anyone in mind? Just buy any car. Good. He said, send me your office address. I'll deliver it to your office. So the lady was just excited that day waiting for a car. They called her downstairs that she had a delivery. She needed to come and see it and sign. When she went down, they gave her a carton box, small box. When she opened it, she saw a toy car. The lady said the guy should buy her a... Now, some diabolic brothers here. Sorry, I used the word diabolic. But some mischievous brothers here. You don't say, Yahweh. That's what I will do. No. May God have mercy on you. If after this joke, you go and do the same. I'm telling you, bought a toy car. Amen. I don't know what happened with them. That's a story for another day. Listen. When you are in a relationship, the most fundamental thing is that the two of you need to understand yourself. You need to look at that person and see beyond emotional attraction. You need to look at that person and find mental explanation for heartful connections. Because when you saw the person, you say love at first sight, your heart connected with the person, but I don't know why, I just love her. No problem. Now take time to find mental explanation for your heart connection. Understand yourself. Who is this person? What value systems do they have? What principles do they uphold? What are their boundaries? And learn to respect certain things that you know they hold on to as rigid principles. That's another problem you see in a relationship. Why you see some people fighting? You come into a relationship with a young man, or you come to a relationship with a young girl, and you begin to observe certain principles that has helped her life to where she is, that even made you to like her when you first saw her. And you don't like it because you are not at home with the principle. You want to start dismantling. You are just a civil war you want to start. So it's a time for understanding. And it's a time for partnership. Now that we are in this together, as we are getting to know ourselves, how do we contribute to each other to grow? So in my opinion, and I think I can have the scripture to back it, but in my opinion, I think financial transaction in a relationship should be two-way. Should be two ways. Especially according to capacity. In some relationship, the woman earned past the man. And that's why the man bought toy car. That was what he could afford. And in fact, if you see the picture of the car, it was a Jeep, toy Jeep. Toy Jeep. I'm telling you, toy Jeep. Amen. You see, you are just trying to force. I heard God's servant, Dr. Mrs. Becky, and then I saw a clip of her. She said something about a guy and a lady who was in a relationship, and the lady was always pressurizing me, buy hair for me. Ah. So the guy, because of too much pressure, stole her laptop. Sold the laptop and bought hair for her. Much later, she now found him as the thief. So if you don't want, maybe it's your own, it's your head that will even get missing. Not even. Amen. Listen, let me ask a question. Where What we are practicing in relationships now, where did we get those principles from? I'm asking singles, where did we get them from? No, don't do as if it's not you. I'm talking to all of you single. I'm asking you, where did we get them from? Let me just try to agree with you for once. Cool? The man should be he's an ababola. He's an odogu. He should be the one funding. Let me agree with you. What will you call a principle? Where is the man that should be spending? Talking stage. He has started billing. Some ladies are so heartless, they will add the bill of their family, their mother, their father. Before you come to pluck them from their family, you would have paid for everybody in the house. Some guys are even tricked to the point where they sponsor this one, sponsor that. Let me say something about that. Listen, if you are not led to do it, and if you don't have the capacity to do it, don't sponsor any of your in-laws or intending in-laws. Don't. If you are not led to do it, or if you don't have the financial capacity, don't even go to the point where you are not sponsoring this one in school. That one, no. Listen, you are her fiance, not her father. Both of them start with F, but they are different. You are trying to do what her father has not done. And some fathers, some parents should hide their shame. Anything you receive from the young man, thank God. As long as you know he has capacity to manage the home based on what he's earning or what he does, and you know he's not a stingy person, be okay with that. But some parents will even encourage the young man to keep, that is shamelessness to the highest level. I respect you, man. I respect you, sir. You are 50, 55, but that thing you are doing is wrong. Some young people who are suffering now in relationship or marriage, their parents brought them into that mess. Where do we get the principles we practice? Where? That's my question. Where are we importing it from? We're just, the slavery continues from one generation to the other. It's like your grandmother who, before your grandfather married her, he had to submit 32 bars of yam. 10 this harvest season. The next harvest, he didn't harvest well, so he brought 5. They say, no problem, your wife's still there. Finally, when he got to 32 bars, after 5 years, he now carried the woman. You now, the grandchild that is already billing the guy at talking stage, is the same thing your grandmother did you are doing. It's just change of levels. It's just an artificial intelligence that has covered it, rebranded it. It's the same thing. It's slavery. Listen, if we don't try to prove the things we are practicing, if you just collect what you see from people, you will bring missiles to destroy your own life. If as a man you have the money to do something for your in-laws, but nobody should force you to make it obligational. Some young men are just carrying cross that, even the cross that Jesus said carry, you never carry him. You are carrying the cross of another family. No, sir. Save yourself. That money that you are spending now, you are not married, use it to develop investments that will help your future home. It's the woman you are marrying, not the family. Forget about what culture is saying. Culture is still there and marriages are breaking. What has culture done about it? So you either listen to me now, or you continue with culture and let's continue the mess. When I speak like this, I'm talking as an apostle. I hope you know what I'm saying. Some families, you will sponsor the elder brother, the second eldest brother, this one, that. That's why every married person, see, yeah? May God so bless you that even when your children start getting their money, you don't even need their money. Yes. So the guy is not coming to the house to impress you. Sit down with him, look beyond the facade and talk with him and discern whether this is the man for your daughter or not. That doesn't mean you go and greet people you are intending to be your in-laws and then you don't carry anything, go. Abba. Which village did they bring you from? No. It's not obligational. Do it if you are led. Do it if you have. and let it be once in a while. Some guys are already paying salary in the relationship. You and your woman better listen to me now. Otherwise, two of you know. In fact, you are already becoming unhappy. You've not gotten married, but you don't want to listen to me. Continue. Make sure you don't come to me when you get married and the things scatter. They're paying salary. Yes. Every month the lady will be expecting something. The Bible says every man should learn to walk with his her hands. 2 Thessalonians 3. And anybody that doesn't walk should not eat. You are a young lady of 25. Find something to do for yourself. Stop staying and waiting for somebody to marry you. What is wrong? Maybe that's why you thought. You see the way God they answer prayer now. Some people, some ladies praying to get married. And God never bring the husband. What is in a husband that God cannot bring? God is looking at an unproductive, lazy and futile human being who is already an atomic bomb waiting to destroy another man that he has suffered to raise. And God say, Mercy, I go answer that prayer. In fact, God has answered the prayer. It's just that the prayer is 5 years ahead. Because as far as God is concerned, it may take you 5 more years. But if you sit down and become diligent with yourself, that 5 years would have taken to make you responsible. It can just be 5 months, 8 months. In my opinion, financial help in relationship should be this side and this side. Young men, set yourself free. If you agree with me, say amen. Set yourself free. I'm not saying be stingy. But don't carry what you are not supposed to carry. No. You can't look through the Bible and see that thing as a pattern. You can't see it. And if it's not there, let's forget it. Say, that's how they do it. Now, is that not how, you know, it's always, is that not how relationship should be? It should be, where, which one is that not how? Where? And she claims she's a Christian. Don't marry a lazy woman. In fact, don't date a lazy woman. And as a lady, you are even struggling and asking God to help you. Don't go and look for one lazy man and join the ship. Amen? Two of you should do for each other. Point number two. Support each other and help each other to grow and improve. Support each other and help each other to grow and improve. That's what should happen in a relationship. Support each other. Help each other to grow. She wants to start a business. Very good. How much do you have? 20,000. How much will it cost? 50,000. And you as the man, God has blessed you. Put some money. Support each other. Support each other. The lady too can support the man. Not the one that she has not done business before. She wants to start. How much do you have? 0 naira. Brother, your support for that time should be prayers. Yes, I'm the one advising. Even if it's my spiritual daughter, support her with prayers for that time. If she has been into business serially and succeeded, that's the person you can trust with money. But she has not done before and she wants to do, and she come and she say, all you have, 0 naira, 0 naira. Go and sell one of your hair. Carrying head, you can't defend financially. If not, even if she's my spiritual daughter, support her with prayers until she can cough out something. Even God, before he helps people, he asks them, what do you have in your hand? No, we have to be blunt on these things because a generation is already decaying into nonsense in the name of wisdom. In fact, the reason why you are having all these problems in relationships is because you have two selfish people who are going into a relationship. Selfish people trying to defraud one another with all kinds of strategies. When Jesus in the family, troubled, happy. What of Satan? When Satan in the family. All right. May God deliver us in Jesus' name. Number three, point number three, be truthful to each other. Be truthful to each other. No forming, no hiding. Be truthful to each other. That doesn't mean you go and remove your clothes and say, hey, Apostle say no hiding, see me. You go to school now. Abba. No forming, no hiding. You know, young singles, they form a lot, when they just marry, the next day they see a monster. Is this who I married? You people are just lying to yourself. No hiding. No forming. If you like to soak your bread inside tea and eat, do it in her front. If she like you like that, no problem. If she like you but feels you can improve, and then we can work towards it. Not that you'll be struggling and eating the bread with the tea, then the moment you're married, just come. Point number four. Are you blessed? Set healthy boundaries. Oh, point number three. Be truthful to each other. Huh? Another thing under that is avoid making promises until commitment is assured. That's what it means to be truthful. Don't make promises until you are assured of committing to each other. That's what it means to be truthful. I love you. I must marry you. Then you go for internship in Abuja. You now see one girl with hair that is as long as you say, Jesus. Did I say I want to marry you? And she will remember because she's a woman. Avoid making promises. And nobody should force you in a relationship to make a promise. You know, women are good at that. Promise me. You know, so that they can hold you to something. Sir, don't promise. Say by the grace of God. That's what the Bible say. By the grace of God, I will do it. I promise you, then they don't come pay you on time. And then she throws you tantrum. Don't come to me, oh. Don't make promises. I've been a victim of that. Once and again, I promised people I couldn't meet up with it. So one of the things I'm learning these days is to reduce promising people. Sometimes she needs the promise for assurance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The assurance of things. Thank you. And if she doesn't like faith, she should meet Davido for second assurance. Don't make promises. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Somebody shout hallelujah. Number four, set healthy boundaries. We're almost done. Set healthy boundaries. I don't need to explain this one. You know, your conscience already telling you, set healthy boundaries. Oh yeah, we don't cross the boundary. Oh yeah, cross it again, go back and start again. Set healthy boundaries. If you people don't like looking at each other's phone, then trust yourself without looking at your phones. Not that you start. I wonder why. Let me see your phone. Babe, let me see your phone. Some brothers, they are even worse. They will seize the lady's phone. Seize her phone for one day. Ah, and you are still in that relationship. You are in Egypt already. That slave trade. Get out of there. No, there are some brothers are so funny. They'll seize the phone. Oh. Ah! Well, for you. Point number five. Set healthy boundaries, my brother. Don't go and visit her when she's alone. Hey, you will collapse there. Ask Samson. And when you wake up, you shout in tongues and no power will be there. It will dry out. Especially when you are a prayer warrior. You now go and visit your lady alone. All those demons you have been fighting, they are just waiting for that day. Then you fall and go back. The way they will mess your life up. Go to your lady's house alone. She's alone, you are alone, and you stay there. And spend the night there and you come out and you want to see vision. Which vision are you seeing? Set healthy boundaries. Set it. Number five. Pray often. Pray often. Pray often. If people in relationship are not praying, I don't know what you are doing. Pray often. Set days to pray. Have a covenant day of prayer. Have a covenant time of prayer. As you are nearing your wedding, 6 months to your wedding, heat up intercession.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Heat up intercession. Pray. I've seen couples that 2 months to their wedding, they don't want to talk to each other. They came to me, I said, no, we have to pray. This is an arrow from hell. Tongue-talking couples, though. Pray often. Number 6, build effective communication. Build effective communication by learning to understand each other. Build effective communication by learning to understand each other. In fact, when it comes to understanding each other, understand your love languages. What is a love language? How a person communicates romantically, or how a person views love, or how love should be communicated to a person. There's a book called The 5 Love Languages. Every single should go and buy it. Even if you're not in a relationship, buy it. Maybe when you buy it by the grace of God, you will enter a relationship. Even if you're in a situationship, buy it. Situationship will become relationship. Love language. Some people, their love language is giving gifts. If you give them gifts, you really love them. Something happened between me and one of our sisters one time, and I just laughed. I think I did something for her, something like that. And when she called me on phone, she said, thank you, sister, I love you. I said, Nala, you don't love me. Nala. I'm sorry. I know we're on camera. She's here, but you don't know the person. She says, I said, Nala, you don't love me, Nala, money you love. Shout amen if you are blessed. Amen. Some people, their love language is tell them you love them in the morning. Call them by 12 noon. I love you. Call them by 3 p.m. I still love you. Call them by 6 p.m. I love you, love you, love you, love you. That's their love language. Learn it. The man say, well, I don't talk at once. Now. Is it not enough? Just believe that I love you. All right, let's pray. Are you blessed? Have I wasted your time? There are 2 mistakes that young singles make in relationship that I don't want you to make. Mistake number 1. Young singles go into relationships looking for what they will get instead of what they will give. They lie to us. When you go to a relationship, it's actually because of what you have to offer. Actually, why did God marry himself to mankind? He had something to trade, his son. For God so loved the world that he gave. You go into a relationship to give. It is more blessed to give than to what? You want love, what should you do? Give love. Give and it shall be what? Given unto you. But does the Bible say receive and it shall be added to you? That's one mistake we make. We go into relationships looking for what to get. So both of us are selfish, looking for how to defraud each other. That's even why they sleep with themselves before they get married. Because they enter that relationship looking for what to get. If they enter looking for how to give respect, they will respect their boundaries. And stay without sleeping with each other till they get married. And it is possible. It is possible. Seek to add value to that person. Even if at the end of the day it doesn't work out, let her look at you and say, God bless the lady that marries you. If your ex can come to your wedding happy, not witchcraft kind of happiness, but happy that you are getting married, that means you were a good person. There are some people, because of what you have done and broken the heart of people, they have prepared a knife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wanted to tell you a story about myself, but that's for another day. He liked to hear. Number two mistake, you can't really change people. Yeah. You can't really change people. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, but it's something I've discovered. As a leader, as a pastor, you can't really change people. You know what you can do? You can influence them towards change or influence them towards the right path. But you can't really change people. Change is a process. It takes time. And it must be that that person submits to the change, the process for change. Change cannot happen without employing the will of the individual that should be changed. And you can't force people beyond your will. If not, it is witchcraft. Influence them towards the change. You got married and you discover the person is dirty. Well, you don't marry him. Beautiful or handsome and dirty. You can't change that overnight. You can't change that by grumbling, by complaining, no. Influence them towards neatness. How? You be neat. If two of you are entering the house and the person removes shirt and throw away, as the person passes, you carry the shirt. People are wise. They are not foolish. Over time, the person sees you always adjusting what they do without talking. The other person already knows that, this my attitude is becoming a liability to us. Now the person will surrender to listen to you. That's when you can now teach them principles that will help them to be neat. Put it, married and single, put it at the back of your mind. You can't really change people. Don't force people beyond their will. Convince them well enough to will themselves to you. I think we should just close here. You don't need the rest. Amen. You don't need the rest. I want us to pray. Thank you. All right. Finally, before we pray, married couples must agree on the following. If you want peace in your home, if you want to raise and build a godly home, if you want to succeed in your marriage, to those who are intending to get married and to those who are already married, please, both of you must agree on these seven things. Number one, keep a peaceful home. You must agree to keep a peaceful home. Amos 3:3 says two cannot work together except they be agreed. And Matthew 18 verse 19 says, whatever two of you shall agree are touching on earth, even heaven will sanction it. Agree on the following. Number one, to keep a peaceful home. Number two, respect and highly esteem one another. Single and married. Respect and highly esteem one another. See the person above you. Prefer the person to you. That's what it means to highly esteem. Forget about see finish. Make sure your husband carries that golden face before you when you married him till 10 years later. If you cannot sustain how you esteem a person, I don't think you should be their spouse. The same honor you gave that person before you married, that honor should still be there 5 years later. And if it has died, may God revive it again. Yes, so. Agree on it. Number three. Handle their resources appropriately. Couples must agree on how they handle their resources. Under that, I said that they must plan together. Couples must plan together with their financial resources. And every spouse must seek self-sufficiency or self-empowerment financially. You want to really be of help financially, you'll be earning something. You'll be self-sufficient. Let's improve from our parents. You grow up watching your father as the only person bringing money as a single civil servant.
And you know how civil servant, their salary, they grow. It's like how a snail works. The woman was not doing anything, gave birth to 6 children, the 6 sons of Leah. Now, you and your fiancé that is about to get married, or you and your wife that has gotten married, agree to improve on that. You and your spouse, do something. Each of you must be self-sufficient. Then plan together with your resources. I don't believe that because a woman have money, she'll be proud. No, she was actually proud before she had the money. Money does not add virtue to you. It reveals the virtue in you. If she was proud when you, if she has money and she's proud, she was always proud. And I've seen women who are financially buoyant and humble. I've seen some women who are even more buoyant than their husband, and they are so humble, sometimes I wish the husband does not even deserve them. You can be such. Number 4, couples must agree on the following. Strive towards growth and continuous personal development. Strive towards growth and continuous personal development. You and your wife, you and your fiance, agree that we will keep growing spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. Strive towards personal development. Become each other's coach. And appreciate the other person as you see them improve. You know something? You remember that there was a viral video recently of God's servant, Dr. Paul Enenche, his crusade in Kebbi State, where he politely rejected a gift given by the governor. And many people said that even before they finished the presentation, the wife was already saying, no, no, no. Now, many men will wish their wives are like that. But let me tell you something. Those people have been married for over 3 decades. I'm not sure he married her like that. It is personal development that they contribute to each other that grew them to the point where you are envying them. So you, next time you see a couple 25 years married, 30 years married, see them as your future, but don't want to become like them immediately. And it starts from the individual, each person deciding that I will keep growing and improving on myself so that I can help the other person develop. Some women get married and become fat after 6 months. Some men don't read anything apart from their work. Once they retire from the military, they cannot do anything but security man. Because when you are in the military, you didn't do any, you didn't school yourself, no degree, no other, no. If you are not going for another degree, read books, attend conferences, attend seminars. Agree. 2 of you must agree on this. These are 7 points. Just before you send a letter for her to sign like Bishop Oyedepo. No. This is something you people can agree on. Strive towards growth and continuous personal development. If you notice your wife is always on social media, after this service, go back home and call for a meeting. Sit down with your wife or sit down with your husband and say, honey, we can't continue like this. The time you are spending on social media, if you can deploy half of that time to read 1 chapter of a book, even a Bible, especially to the men in the context of Africa, and this is our society, in Western nations, maybe that can escape. But especially to men, if you sit down, allow your wife not to grow, now you go inherit them. The husband man is the first partaker of the rubbish thereof. After this meeting, go home, sit down and call for a meeting before you people pray. I didn't marry you to come and be a liability, no. Some of you were doing well when you were single. Now that you are married, you can't remember when last you read even a book. You are not even thinking of going for another degree. Depends on the kind of home you want to build anyway. But we will build godly homes. Number what now? Love God wholeheartedly. Couple must agree that both of them will love God wholeheartedly. When they love God, you will know. It will show in how they treat each other. Number 6, resolve their issues, that is conflict now, resolve their issues personally and biblically. couples must agree on this, that they will resolve their issues or conflicts personally and biblically. And finally, couples must agree that they will be disciplined and truthful to each other. They will be disciplined and truthful to each other. A great man of God said something. According to Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 to 27, Jesus said, any man that hears these words of mine and does them will be likened to a man who built his house on a rock. And he said that the wind blew on that house, the rain came on the house, and storm beat the house, and the house did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Think of that house as a marriage, as a relationship. There are three major tests that will come to every relationship or marriage. Number one, the wind test. Wind is symbolic of change. That's why they say the wind of change. It will test that marriage. Change. Change in job. Change in location. Husband go here, wife go there. Change. It will come to test your home. And how your home reacts will show whether it is solidly founded on the principles of God's word. Number two test, storm or flood. That speaks of adversity and enemy attacks. Adversity, external adversity will come to test your home. And then the rain, number three test, speaks of blessings. It's also another thing that will test every home. Two of you were broke. God pick your call. 4 years later, husband is earning 1.5 million. Wife is earning 1.2 million minus other allowances. And 2 months later, they are cheating on themselves. When the blessings of God comes and tests your home, will you still be humble? Will you still be submissive to your husband? Will you still love your wife? Will you still listen to her, even though you are the one providing? I think we've heard enough today. Let's stand on our feet as we pray. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, giving my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Tonight you are going to pray one prayer. You are going to tell God, with all that you have heard, you see that we have a lot to adjust to. We are going to surrender our lives to God and say, Lord, from today, I surrender to the wisdom of your word. As a person and as my home, my family, let us live according to the principle of your word. The Bible says that the wind blew on the house, the storm beat the house, rain fell on the house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. That rock is the word of God. When you build your life or your home according to the principles of God's word, problem will come, conflicts will come, but your home will be standing. I believe that everybody here, whether married or intending to be married, you don't plan for divorce. So you are going to surrender now, a prayer of surrender, and say, Lord, I hand over my life to you. I hand over my family to you. From today, let us live according to the principles of your word. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. For some of you who are married, you have seen many places where you are wrong. Can you just go before God and say, Lord, I can't help myself. My marriage is already breaking. We surrender it to you.
We surrender it to you. Let us live according to the principles of your word. Let your wisdom be the foundation of my life, the foundation of my relationship, the foundation of my marriage. Deliberately surrender to him in prayers. Please pray. Even if you have been married for 25 years, 20 years, 2 years, you are about to get married, you can begin to secure your home by this prayer. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory. And Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my. Keep praying. Keep praying. Your destiny, your relationship, your marriage is at the mercy of your prayer now. In Jesus' name. Final prayer before we close. In Joshua 24, just before he died, he assembled the whole Israel. He told them, God has brought you this far. He has brought you to the promised land. He has given you everything you want. Now, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether you will serve the gods of the Amorites or the Canaanites or the gods of the inhabitants of the other side of River Jordan. He said, but as for me and my house, I was responsible for leading the whole nation. But when it comes to choice of spiritual devotion, I can only choose for myself and my family. As for me and my house, a young man that is about to get married will pray that prayer. Even if you will get married in 5 years, secure it from now. Or your home is just starting. As for me and my house, you are going to pray a vow to God that God will be the head of my home. Myself, my wife, my husband, my children will serve the Lord. Young lady, you are not yet married. Pray into your future and say, I will not marry a godless man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not the one that will be coming to Pneumatech every Sunday because he wants to get you. When he gets you, he doesn't go to church any longer. No. I will not marry a godless. It's difficult when you are marrying somebody who doesn't know God or fear God. Do you know why Joseph escaped immorality with Potiphar's wife? It was just one thing he said. He said, for I fear God. If not, coast was clear. The Bible says there was nobody in the house. See the woman, free lunch, chop and go. Joseph said, but I fear God. Some of you are here, you are not married. You have to pray this prayer so that you will meet a woman that fears God. Because right now, that woman is somewhere in this world. And she may be undergoing pressure to sleep with somebody who is not her husband. If she does not fear God, or if your prayer does not go ahead to secure, because I always tell people, I say, see, the distance between you and your life partner is revelation. It's not really somebody far away. Most times they're always around. The problem of everything is around, the solution of a thing is around the problem. Are you hearing me? You can pray this prayer now and your wife somewhere will be saved. You can pray this prayer now, your husband somewhere will be saved. Don't expect a future you didn't pray for. It's witchcraft. Even witches know how to cast spell. So when I say pray, this is the only prayer you are praying. Pray it like your life depends on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As for me and my house, we will serve God all the days of our life. Nothing will make us serve money. Nothing will make us serve social media. Nothing will make us serve the gods of our parents. We will serve the Lord. Lift your voice in 2 minutes and pray. Pray.
If your wife is with you, if your husband is with you right now, hold their hands and pray. If your partner is with you, hold your hands and pray. Lord, we make a vow that this home will have you as the head. All the days of our lives, we will serve the Lord.
To Jesus I surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust You.
Relationship to Him. That's why you're always having breakups. You speak in tongues, you know God, but you have not surrendered your relationship. So you are going in and out of it. And now you are almost giving up on that aspect. Hand over your home to Him. Hand over your children so that they don't grow to become stubborn and problematic. Hand over your job, your family finance. Lord, this is the little we have, but we surrender it to you. Little in your hands, multiply. Pray for one more minute. Please pray. This is a destiny deciding moment.
Let Savior, I surrender. Oh. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name. I wanted us to pray a little bit because this is where we wrap up the sermon or the series. There's so much to talk about when it has to do with relationship and marriage. But I believe that these few points have blessed you. I want you to know one thing. After all is said and done, the prayer altar sustains marriage. It sustains relationship. Huh? You and your boyfriend, if you people pray often, that relationship will be strengthened to withstand any storm. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So keep that altar of prayer running again and again. Don't get married and become prayerless. No. That's how you surrender anything you have. There are marriages here where you have been struggling financially. You have never surrendered your finances to God. You've always been asking, but you've never surrendered. When there was need to feed 5,000 men, all they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. The lunch of a young boy. But when the boy surrendered it to the hands of the master, it multiplied. If you and your wife surrender your family finances, it will multiply. Surrender it to God's hand. Trust me. Anything you want to secure in God, you secure it by prayer. There are people who have been going in and out of relationships and they've gotten so frustrated they no longer believe in love. There are some ladies now who don't even think they will ever get married again. Maybe it's because that aspect of your life, you have not deliberately handed it over to God in prayers. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's the first lifeline. We must restore the prayer culture to homes and relationships again. I'm telling you, if not, you can't stand the storm ahead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When your children go outside and pick up bad habits, you think flogging them will take it out of them consistently? Flog them. Talk to them. But when they go to sleep, go and contend in the place of prayer as a priest. One thing I didn't tell you that I'm telling you now is every father and mother is a priest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you are struggling with things that your grandfather, patterns that started with your grandfather, your great grandfather, you are struggling with it now. You wouldn't have struggled if your parents took time to pray for you. And that's why you must sow your life in the place of prayer. I say it again, if two people are in a relationship and they are not praying, they are just taking a walk. They are not in anything. That thing can scatter anytime. Not I'm praying and I don't know whether he's praying. Just leave the relationship if you are not sure of the other person. I'm telling you. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep only that which I have committed to him. It's a new day for you. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Consider these the prophetic blessings that will wrap up this series. Father, from the depth of my heart, I pray for your people in the name of Jesus, that you cause to rest upon them wisdom and spiritual understanding. Reveal to them the pattern for them with which they will build a godly home. The pattern for a successful home. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you come from families where marriages don't work. By the power of priesthood, by the Melchizedek priesthood, and by the power of knowledge and wisdom, your home will be the first to break that record. Your own home will work by all means. In the name of Jesus Christ, I attack every satanic entrenchment around your relationship, around your home. Curses from your bloodline, spells from your father's house, that monitors marriages and relationship. In the name of Jesus, I cut it off from your life. I cut it off from your life. I cut it off from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace to prosper and to succeed in your home and your relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Okay, I said I was going to make one prayer for us. Let me take an altar call before that one. Please, everybody, be patient and just keep standing. If you are here, no time to waste. You know that you and Jesus are not in good terms. You are not sure you are born again. You can be sure tonight. Or there are things you are struggling with that you want God to help you so you can serve Him and follow Him. Or maybe you are even married, or you are in a relationship that has made you break so many laws, many things, and right now you are not sure if you are in a relationship with God. Cement your relationship with God first before you can talk about a relationship with man. I'm going to count to 10. Wherever you are, I'd like you to run to the front and come and make your ways right with the Lord right now. And I want you to clap for them as they come. Man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, regardless of who you are, this is a call to salvation. Jesus is standing here right now and calling you. 1, 2, don't wait to be the last. Come quickly. 3, 4, 5, maybe if we clap faster and better, they will come. 6, don't wait to be the last. Don't wait for somebody to go before you. Come quickly and make your ways right with the Lord. 7, I have made up my mind to serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh Lord, breathe on me. Father, we rededicate ourselves to you, that we are yours and yours alone, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? Hallelujah. Now, God told me before we go that there are a few people here that are not permitted to step into the next half of this year the way they are. If you want, I can suspend it to next Sunday. Amen. God wants to release His power on a few people here that will catapult you into a state that is worthy of your entrance into the next half of the year. Some of you are in need of a breakthrough quickly as a matter of urgency. Some of you, some things have been delayed from January. Some of you are in need of deliverance. Some of you are in need of God breaking certain spells and yokes around your family, certain patterns. Some of you need the hand of God desperately. Some of you are trusting God for empowerment spiritually, so that you don't cross over from June into July the way you are. This is your moment. Are we ready? Please be upstanding, everybody. I'm going to say in the name of Jesus and you will shout amen. And I'll say it 7 times. After I finish saying it, I'll make declarations. At every shout of amen, the power of God will move. The angels of God will storm this place right now and begin to touch people. There are yokes that will break. There are long-standing family patterns that will be destroyed. Demonic confrontations that will be arrested. Afflictions that will check out of people. Are you ready tonight? Empowerment for breakthrough. Grace will come on some people. We do this and then we are off. Are you ready? So I want you to shout that amen on the top of your voice. And at every shout, God will be visiting certain people strategically. And then when we finish everything, I'm going to make declarations and we are done tonight. The Bible says God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, all things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Please lift your hands. Lord, I do this based on instruction that you gave to me. I don't know who you came here to visit, whose case is like an emergency that needs your touch. My God, I feel that thing. I feel the power. I feel it like electricity just go through my body now. Father, as they make this shout, one by one begin to touch them, regardless of their family background, regardless of their surname, regardless of their case, visited now and change their story by a mighty release of your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Power of God is moving already. The third shout. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus. Help them. That's it. Help them. Help them here. This fourth shout, I see chains that will be broken. I see witchcraft spells that were casted over people, over families, that will be canceled right now, and there will be a release of power to confirm it. Are you ready right now? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an utter show of them, a public show of them, triumphing over them. This is the shout that will command breakthrough. This is the shout that will decimate the forces of darkness. In the name of Jesus. Help them there, help them there, help them there, help them there. Help them there, help that person. Help that person. That's the power of God. I see witchcraft spells that are being canceled. That's what I see right now. I see a spell. I see somebody making incantation. I see somebody that was making incantation. That spell is broken. That spell is broken. That spell is broken right now. Are you ready for the fifth shout? The Lord said this fifth shout is going to open up the resources of many here. Anyone whose financial resources have been tied from January up till now, your projects are delayed. Many things around your life are delayed. Your family is suffering because of the little flow of resources. Or you know you are supposed to have gone beyond this level. This is the shout that will release your victory and breakthrough into new levels of wealth and finances. In fact, this shout is opening up jobs, miracle jobs for some people. Are you ready to shout this shout? And the power of God will come on at least 8 people that I see right now, very strong. In the name of Jesus. Let your financial destinies be released right now. Be released right now. Are you ready for the sixth shout? This is the shout of dominion. That you will step into the next 6 months of the year and you will walk in dominion over situation and circumstances. Dominion over the forces of darkness. My God, I feel that power being released right now on somebody. In the name of Jesus. I release you right now. Let this last shout be the shout of jubilee. Let it be the shout that will open up closed doors. Let it be the shout of victory. Let it be the shout of open doors. Are you ready to receive it? Let it be the shout of empowerment. The shout of a king is among them. My God, I feel it coming on people right now. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. Receive divine empowerment. Receive it right now. Now lift your hands. Please just help those who are under the anointing. I release you to a season of divine empowerment. Right now, I see 21 people. My God, my God, my God. I see an empowerment. I see the angel of the Lord right now empowering 21 people. Not just spiritual empowerment alone, financial empowerment. Right now, I see it resting upon 21 people at least. Receive it where you are. Receive it where you are. Man or woman, boy or girl. Receive it now. That's why you came. You can't leave June into July the same person. Touch! Right now. You hear me? Every door that stubbornly refused to open for you from January to June, I stand as an apostle and as one sent by the Lord, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That door that refused to open between now and the end of tomorrow, I command that door to open for you. I declare that door open, 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 open. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hear me? I declare 24-hour miracles. The God that brought somebody, you heard the testimony, out of ICU. By that same God, I stand to declare, between now and 12 midnight tomorrow, may God give you a miracle that will surprise you. Even if you are not ready for one, may you receive a miracle that will surprise you. I declare divine surprises, divine surprises, divine surprises. In the name of Jesus. You hear me? Finally, I pray for you. The next 6 months of this year, I declare that you are unstoppable. Any project you started, you will finish it this next 6 months. Anything you couldn't do before, you will do it and accomplish it this 6 months. This July, everything that escaped you from January till June, every good thing that is rightfully yours, a house, a car, a job, settlement of any type, I stand by the God that made heaven and earth, that in the month of July, some of you will come back next week for miracle service with testimonies. In the month of July, I collapse all those good things to meet you in July. It will meet you in the month of July. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be afflicted again. Affliction will not rise a second time. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. And I declare that it is well with you. Go forth and excel. Go forth and prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your name from today becomes favor. Your name from today becomes favor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will come back with your testimonies. Not only for yourself, but to everyone that connects with you. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shout amen 3 times. Shout the shout of victory. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.